You're listening to Three Designers at a Table.
So, three of us are here today, friends, engagement scholars, to kind of talk about some of our experiences and just kind of get us kicked off. The big question of why did we become engagement scholars and why do we think it's important for people to, for students specifically, to engage within the community. So, does anybody want to pick that up to start with?
I'll start.
Okay.
So I became an engagement scholar because our architectural curriculum is pretty much set when we go into school. So we don't have an opportunity to take too many classes that might be outside of our field, especially if you're trying to do a minor in something else, which I did. So I really wish that I had taken more design classes and that I could have art and design classes and that I could have like engaged with some of the projects going on in the city. So having this year after school to do anything that you were interested in was a really fun and exciting opportunity. And I think it's important because it's a year to not be like too stressed about the work world, because that can be a whole new experience and a lot of things come with
it's
it.
It's a nice transition period.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great transition because you can still further study some things that you didn't get a chance to, but also begin practicing some of the skills that you learned in your undergrad career.
Yeah.
And we can maybe talk about...
Yeah, well, if I could pick up on that transition. So that's one of the reasons why I decided to become an engagement scholar is I had been working previously with the Connective Quarter, a little bit with the Near West Side, and upon graduation, I was still working on projects that I wasn't complete with, and I wanted to continue the work. You know, I had recently come into public interest design or social design versus the corporate consumer-based design, and I was really kind of enjoying my exploration of that. And to force me out into the real world to say, I would probably get stuck into a corporate design job, and I wasn't done with that experience of social design. And this is really gave me the opportunity to kind of explore that, right? And to have that transition. And I think that's one of the reasons why it is important for students to get engaged within the community that they're currently in while they're in the university, because high school was sheltered enough, right? As like, you just do what the teachers tell you to, and college is supposed to be this transitional period preparing you for professional life. Mm-hmm. But what you get within the classroom is not always professional experience, right? So having that opportunity to bridge the gap between theory and praxis and to have that experience coincide with each other, I think was great. And not only that, but you know, very much my personal motto is always leave a place better than when you came to it. And I think if everybody did that and engaged within their community, you know, it would be a much better place.
Yeah, I think my year is kind of a continuation of stuff that I was doing in school. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a slightly different experience in architecture school, but like we did some of the same projects. But I know that I did a lot of like design build projects that were community engaged in a way, like it wasn't direct engagement in a way, but it was like learning from the client and then going back, designing, coming back. It was a little back and forth, which is a little different than what I'm doing this year, which is like, you know, get as much into the community as possible and then learn from that experience and go back and then back and forth. But yeah, I know. I like the idea, like you were saying, that like you had certain experiences in school, and then to bridge between that schooling period where you're in the classroom and the work experience where you're in the field.
Mm-hmm.
That bridge in between the two is kind of like where this program kind of fits in, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pursuing some maybe more realistic projects and getting that experience.
Yeah, but still being in that space where you could almost, you can't fail right off, but you can like, the schooling is a period where like you're in a classroom. If you fail, nobody gets hurt. Nothing bad happens. And you're expected to fail.
You should fail.
You should fail quickly and often so that,
yeah, exactly.
so that you learn. You know, that's the process of learning. So, and this is like a period in time where like you fail small and quickly, and then because you're in that period where like things could happen that hurt people if you fail, but it's not where you're in the complete professional mode where like if you fail at all, like then you're really hurting people. Mm-hmm. Like you're in that like weird gray zone where it's allowing you to kind of transition.
Right.
Yeah. Which, I don't know if you guys have that same experience of like learning to fail in a way, or learning to fail gracefully.
Mm-hmm. To fall, but to land and to be able to pick your back stuff up and dust everybody off.
Because I think it's a valuable skill to have, and I don't think I'm personally at the point where I could say like, oh, I'm great at failing, But like, there's a period of time where you're supposed to learn that, and like I think this period is where you're learning to do that, as well as, deal with the side effects of like what happens when you're actually a professional.
Yeah, fallout.
Yeah. Which you don't get in school. You just get like the failing part. Like if you fail in school, I'm not talking like fails and like bad grades. I'm saying like fails and like you do a design that doesn't work.
You learn that it doesn't work, but you learn why it doesn't work, and then you can take that back into the process. It's just ideating, right? It's just the constant design process of always moving forward to that final. If you could ever say there's a final. So
problems you've run into during the year,
and what strategies you've had to kind of
those two kind of came together in a way.
Yeah.
If you guys want to start with that, maybe what problems you've run into over the year.
I'll hand it to you.
Hand it over to me. Since we were kind of discussing this earlier, problem-wise, it's been one of my things as part of my job here at the Connected Quarter is to engage with students and try to get more students involved in projects. Because, as I also mentioned, I work much more on an administrative level within the city with property owners. So that's kind of like my community, my neighborhood to say. It's how to reach out to students, how to get people involved and interested in stuff, especially when their time is very important as well, because as we're all students, right? And so some of my strategies with that is just to find an interest that a student has and be like, okay, how can we bring your personal interest into what the mission statement of the Connected Quarter, though? And how can we, as an organization, help you attain that interest and that goal that you set for yourself? So with the city, that's been a great, with the more administrative, that's been a great learning experience as well. Yeah. Dealing with these people that you typically don't get to deal with, right? And it is much more that professional level of, when I fail, there's people there to be like, okay, yes, but this is how, next time, this is how you'll do it. And, that strategy of, since you are working in this much higher risk, to say if it is higher risk, to be, one of the strategies there is to constantly be in communication with somebody. If a project's going to fail, it's probably going to fail from lack of proper communication. So you're constantly updating somebody if something happens, if something changes within the project, be like, we spoke about this before, but now this has happened and we're thinking we're going to head this way. Is this okay?
Yeah.
And constantly being on there. That way you don't get to a final product and then be like, oh, everything is wrong.
Yeah. Is your problem, like, or the problem you're running into, is that like a friction between, and I kind of see this too in my work, a friction between the students who have this one mindset, this one, like they're in this certain way of thinking in the Syracuse community, you know, or the Syracuse officials that you're working mm-hmm. with. Like, they have two different value systems, two different ways of thinking about the project. Like, one's thinking, and this is, like, kind of pessimistic, but the students are more thinking, like, at least some of the students I've worked with are like, oh, well, how is this leading to... the worst case scenario is like, how is this leading to a grade, which is horrible.
Right.
But the best case scenario or better case scenario is, how is this leading to what I do after school, mm-hmm. you know, after graduation. And like the city is more interested in like, you know, I mean, maybe you can speak more to that.
Like, yeah, well, I think that's the kind of the age old kind of dilemma between academia and practice, right? Is
yeah.
the students, you know, we do have certain short end goals in front of us, right, of mm-hmm. graduation and what we need to do for that and how to set us up for the job and our portfolio.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, with working with the city, you have to be very pragmatic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that the final product is not going to be for you, it's going to be for the city. And those are the goals that you have to meet. And I think that mm-hmm. if there is conflict between that,
because you're the point of connection between the
yeah.
two. At least that's what I've found.
Yeah, like, so it's like when somebody comes to me and it's like, I have this, like, I want to do this project. I'd be like, okay, do you want to do it because it'd be great in your portfolio? Or do you see this larger image where this fits into the bigger picture of what is Syracuse? What is the direction that Syracuse is moving into?
A lot of our conversations around that transition. And it's not only a transition for us in like, a, like time period in a way, but it's almost like we are that transition between, like, the physical transition between the students we're working with and the city we're working
right.
with. So it's all about like, we're in that little that spot that's both time and space in a way. I don't know if I got too heavy.
So what are some of the things you've ran into and the strategies you've had?
So, well, I mean, we were talking about this before. One of the things that I've run into is architecture as a profession. We run into this problem where you're engaging the community to a certain point, and then at what point do you step back? And I think that's a time question, but like, what period of time do you step back and kind of become the professional? I use this a lot, like the doctor. Like, when do you become the doctor and say, like, all right, you have a stomach ache. This is what we think that stomach ache is, and this is what we're going to do to treat that. Like, when do you become that, and when do you allow yourself to just come in with no preconception, like? There's a point where you come in with no preconception, and then something develops, and then you kind of step back and become that professional. When along that track does that happen? I think if you're in like the corporate world, I mean, that's just a stand-in for like for profit or whatever you want to call it. That period is very quick. So mm-hmm. like, and you're working with the client, but like the community, however you define it. That period's really quick, but if you're trying to engage, it becomes a longer process with lots of loopbacks, mm-hmm. and that, like, finding that point that makes the project successful is what I'm kind of dealing with. I don't know if you guys have dealt. I think we talked a little bit about like you guys dealing with the same kind of issues, but. Quentin, you're doing a different thing, because it's not, it's design isn't exactly, it's less of professional degree.
Yeah, it's where, you know, I would say everybody's a designer in some respect, right? Some do take, like myself, a more professional side to it, but mm-hmm. since the profession it is not licensed, you know, have that status of an architect, you know, people can design in their garage and make products in their garage, but you know, there is this kind of standard, and you kind of say you take on that responsibility of the final product. Not to say that we don't, it's just you're much more legally tied to it.
It's a lot of liability when you assign that standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's this question that you know, how much of, you know, you're both the community, the neighborhood, and the designers are bringing different things to the table, right? Like, you have this professional knowledge. They have the knowledge of the situation, of the community, of the culture, and stuff like that. And it is really this blending of that. And something I think that Emily Pelton of Project H does well is, you know, her second kind of principle for the way that she works with people is to design with, not for. So it is this constant process of, you know, here's this idea, they bring in their ideas, and it's a constant ideation of just back and forth. But then in the end, I mean, to go to your doctor problem, you know, as the professional, when do we say this is it?
And I don't think you can go all the way to design drawings and construction drawings, DDs and CDs. You can't, like, I mean, you, the process continues on, but you can't have someone that's not an architect draw the CDs
right.
in a way. Like, there has to be that point at which they there's not a disconnect, but like a comfortable space in between the two, so that you can do your work and they can benefit from that.
But I would say that even when you're doing those professional drawings, that you still need to be looped back in and be like, you know, here's this rendering or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, does this meet our goals, right? It's not your goals necessarily. I mean, yeah, it is. And but like my goals as well. It's everybody should leave happy.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely.
What about you, Stacey?
I think I can relate to both of what you guys have been talking about. Brian and I have been working on the Skitty Park project in the Near West Side, and it's to redesign the field house in the park of the neighborhood. And so I've acted as the community liaison between the architecture students and the community. And for the architecture students, it's been very challenging the whole semester to think about this project because they are trying to fulfill their design requirements and the typical design studio challenges, which is a lot of work, a lot of late night studio designing, but then also making it in the making of a real project, like you said, engaging with all these different city institutions like the Parks and Recreation Department and the community, which are the big stakeholders of this project. So they often, it's been interesting to see how, now that I'm on the other side of a project like this, where before I was the student trying to do both things, and now I'm kind of more on the community side, seeing how we aren't equipped with those skills, but even though it's really hard for them, I think it's a really positive experience that needs to be included more into the education of an architect. Because beyond the designing, there's the community input, there's the marketing of the project, there's the designing of specific components, and we often don't get to that detail of fabrication. So in that general project, communication has been a big issue. Like, sometimes the students will be so overwhelmed with the design part that they forget that they need to talk to the community members, to the Syracuse Housing Authority. And so I guess that's where my role is, to like help them remember those things. But communication is huge in the real world. Like, you really, and it's a super important skill. So I think that's something that this year has been really good for practicing that.
Yeah. And I think the students are also learning to engage not only like the Syracuse community, but their own different design communities. There's not only design, but also engineering, how the building stands up. Like, they're learning how to communicate
in different languages.
Yeah. But which most architecture students graduate without that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're told that there's these engineers, and they'll tell you that your building is horrible, or they won't stand up.
Right.
And you just go in that meeting and kind of argue with them.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what we graduate with. And you wonder why, like, engineers and architects and designers are all like this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Or you're told, oh, the engineer will figure out how to make it stand. But there's a lot of value in knowing the basics of how the mechanism or the structure is going to work, because that gives you more design possibilities. Like,
exactly.
When you understand what a material does or how something stands, like, you're like, oh, well, then I can be more creative in how I do something.
And being flexible at the table and saying, almost making the engineer a designer in a way. You're giving me feedback on this, but what if we did that? You know, like,
mm-hmm.
less of like a confrontational conversation.
Right. There. You have to be able to understand their way of speaking and have some of their basic knowledge. That way it's not just, I want this, you want this. It's like, okay, I kind of have this idea. Is that possible here? How can we bring this in? Right. Yeah. It's much more collaborative.
I have a friend that's working in New York and design build firm. And he's like, when I met with him, he's like, yeah, I know how to speak contractor now. And I know how to speak engineer. You know?
It is a different language.
Yeah, it is a different language. Yeah. And, like, even within that, like, I know, like, he knows how to speak plumber. And like,
That's a whole other dialect. Say, or like, what's the biggest thing that you've learned?
Biggest thing I've learned is actually identity, like my personal identity. You know, what's my professional identity? What are my much more like morals and ethics of work, and what would I be like happy with doing in the future? Right, and then go back to where we began. You know, this was a transitional period. That I'm testing the waters, and you know, what type of experience do I like working much more on an administrative level, or do I like working much more closely with people, or is there a hybrid? I think that's kind of been my big takeaway from this year.
Yeah, I think what I'm learning is how to balance everything, because when you're in school, you're learning how to balance different things, but it's not, those things don't come with, you know, repercussions and value in a way, like learning how to figure out who is responsible for paying me at this point, and when am I in class, when am I, because I have a lot of classes that, or I'm taking two classes, but they're also funded by Upstate, so where do I draw that line, and how do
working.
I yeah how am I working and how am I balancing everything I'm doing, so that everyone that I'm working for and with is all, you know, satisfied with what I'm doing, but also benefiting from what I'm doing. Like, everything, you know, figuring out how to make everything work in a way is tough.
Yeah.
And you have to learn that at some point.
Yeah, I think I've learned the two things that you guys mentioned, and I'm experiencing that for sure. And finding kind of how to maybe be resourceful with the things that you're doing, because I think a lot of us have multiple interests, and sometimes you get overwhelmed with everything that you want to do, but how can you make things, do two things at once, you know, being smart with how you work. And also, in my specific job, I feel like you guys have, I don't know, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you guys have a more set role as to what you're doing. No?
Tell that to everyone I'm working with.
Okay, maybe you don't, because I certainly don't, and
set
I'm,
roles,
like,
I don't
working
know.
On multiple projects at once, and so, like, just learning how to shift mindsets into different projects.
And really,
which hat are you wearing at which time?
You know, I don't know what your title is, but I know mine's project coordinator, and I think that's a good title, because it's like, it is this constant balancing of different projects, and
I'm always refining what my role is in a project. Like,
yeah.
yeah.
Okay, so none of us have defined roles, but then, but then
I've settled on like TA for the class and like engagement fellow for the for upstate work and like.
Yeah, but then you're like, I'm an engagement scholar. Well, what does that mean to the rest of the world?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So then you're like, oh, well, I work on this awesome. And that.
Yeah,
these yeah. yeah. are awesome. And I think we still will really see the value of this when we've finished.
Absolutely.
When we've left. Yeah. But even without having that retrospect figured out completely, it's been a really great experience.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
So they should keep doing it.
For sure.
Yeah. Right.
Well, thank you for anybody who's watching this.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Sweet.
You've been listening to Three Designers at a Table. Find more episodes at engage.syr.edu.